Psalm 23, verses 1 to 5. David writes there, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, I thank you for the privilege that I have once again this Lord's Day, Lord, to stand in the midst of one of your churches, Lord, to preach the gospel. And Father, to preach the Word of God as it is in truth the very Word of God. And Father, I pray you give us all ears to hear this morning what the Spirit of God desires to speak to us about from this passage, Lord, in Psalms 23. Bless the Word as it's preached. Father, might it bring forth fruit, eternal fruit for your honor and for your glory. And fill us with the Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Throughout Psalms 23, David has been expressing the blessings of having the Lord as his shepherd. In verse 2, David said, "The Lord supplies the blessing of rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And the blessings of refreshment. He leadeth me beside the still waters." In verse 3, David said, "The Lord supplies the blessings of restoration. He restoreth my soul. And the blessings of righteous guidance. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Then in verse 4, David said, "The Lord supplies the blessings of reassured companionship in an hour of darkness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And then in verse 5, David said, "The Lord supplies the blessing of relief. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil." And then at the end of verse 5, David sums up. He sums up all of the blessings he has received from the Lord by exclaiming, "My cup runneth over. My cup runneth over." I want to give several reasons this morning why a born-again Christian's cup ought to be running over. Number one, our cup ought to run over because we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Christ is ours. All of Christ is ours. If you have been born again, my friend, His Spirit dwells and abides within your heart and soul. We have all of His fullness abiding in us. We have all of His love. We have all of His forgiveness. We have all of His power. We have all of His life, my friend, dwelling and abiding within us if we have been born again by the Spirit of God. John said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know," not hope so, not guess so, "but that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Think about that with me this morning, oh brothers and sisters in the Lord. Christ dwells and abides within us if we have called upon Him to be our Lord and Savior. My friend, I like what Sammy Allen, the evangelist Sammy Allen, said down at Faith Baptist Camp years ago when I heard him preach. Sammy Allen went to be with the Lord about 2 years ago. But Sammy Allen had a Shouting Baptist Camp down in Resaca, Georgia. I don't know if you've ever been to a Shouting Baptist Camp, my friend, but they just let it go. I mean, when they preach the Word of God, they wave their hanky like a flag, you know, and they say amen and they shout. Sometimes some of the preachers will get so excited they'll run around the auditorium, you know, and they'll come down. But Sammy Allen, you know what he'd say to that crowd? He'd say to that crowd as he was he called on preachers to preach. And all week long, he'd call on preachers to preach. they had services in the morning, then they had lunch, and then they had services, a service in the afternoon, then they broke until supper time, and then they had services at night from 7 o'clock, sometimes till 12 or 1 o'clock midnight. They were having preaching all day long. Sammy Allen would say to that crowd, as they got excited and shouting, he said, folks, there's nothing to get excited about. I mean, there's nothing to get excited about. You're only going to live as long as God lives, he told them. And that congregation of preachers and missionaries, man, they just be shouting and saying glory to God. You know, my friend, I want you to know, my friend, when you begin to think of the Lord Jesus Christ living and abiding within your very heart and soul, my friend, your cup is going to run over. We are possessors. We are possessors, my friend, of the blesser as well of all of his blessings. So our cup ought to run over this morning because we have the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And he promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Not only that, but a born-again Christian's cup ought to run over because of the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us according to Romans chapter 5, verse 5. The love of God is greater far, my friend, than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, the Apostle Paul said this in letting the Ephesians know that he was praying for them. He said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, that's Christ's love, may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and what is the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth all knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul's prayer, my friend, for the members of the church at Ephesus was that they would be able to comprehend the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of the love of Christ. I want you to know this morning that Christ loved us so much, he came all the way from heaven. Heaven's glories, my friend, that's the height of God's love. He came all the way down to this sin-cursed world. That's the depth of God's love. And he allowed men to stretch out his hands on an old rugged cross, my friend, and be nailed there for the sins of all mankind. That's the breadth of God's love. And when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts by faith, my friend, we will experience the length of God's love because we will have established an eternal relationship with the Son of God for all eternity. I'm reminded of the conversion of John Jasper. I read of his biography years ago as a young college student at college. We were challenged to read, great preachers and their preaching, read biographies of preachers. And I got a book about John Jasper. John Jasper, my friend, was a Negro slave. He was a Negro slave, and he worked on a tobacco plantation. And John Jasper had been witnessed to by other Negro slaves who had been saved. And one day when John Jasper was pulling stems out of a tobacco leaves, he got under conviction about his sins. And he called on the Lord Jesus Christ to save him right there on that tobacco line. He said, oh, it felt so good. He said, it felt so good when I called upon the name of the Lord to save me from my sins. He said, I wanted to shout. He says, but I know I couldn't shout on the tobacco line. He says, so I put my hands over my mouth. He says, but I couldn't hold it in, and I let go and said, glory to God. All those other Negro slaves working in that tobacco factory, they begin to say, hey, old Jan Jasper, he's got religion. Hey, old Jan Jasper, he's gotten saved. The master of the plantation heard about it. And the master of the plantation called John Jasper to his office. And when John Jasper walked into his office, the master said, John Jasper, I heard you had an experience out there on the tobacco line. And John Jasper says, yes, master. Yes, master, when I was on that tobacco line, he said, I came under conviction of my sins as I was pulling a stem out of the tobacco leaf. He says, and I called upon the name of the Lord Jesus to save me. The master said, John Jasper, if that be so, he says, then I make you a free man today. I make you a free man today. You can go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want you to know, John Jasper went out and he began to preach, and he started the 6th Mount Zion Baptist Church of Richmond, Virginia. So they interviewed John Jasper one day and they said, John Jasper, why did you call it the 6th Mount Zion Baptist Church of Richmond, Virginia? Were there 5 other, Mount Zion Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia? And John Jasper says, no, I just likes the name. I just likes the name. John Jasper had a congregation. Eventually, he had a congregation running into the thousands. Thousands of people would come out to hear John Jasper preach. And one day when John Jasper was preaching, on the beauties and the glory and the joy of heaven, he got so emotionally overwhelmed that the words wouldn't come out of his mouth. And tears began to run down his cheeks. And John Jasper he opened his mouth, but he couldn't say anything. So he waved to the crowd to go away. But the crowd wouldn't go away. They just sat there. And so old John Jasper, he tried to open his mouth again, but he was just too emotionally overwhelmed with the beauties and the glories of heaven. And he waved to the crowd to go away again, but they wouldn't go away. Finally, John Jasper, he tried to regain his composure and say something, but no words would come out. So he walked over to the door to leave. He put his hand on the doorknob and he waved again for the crowd to leave, but they wouldn't go away. They just sat there in great anticipation. And so old John Jasper came back to the side of the pulpit. He regained his composure. And he said, one of these days, I know that one of these days old John Jasper will have fought his last battle. He says, and I will lay down my heavy load. He says, and I'll walk up to the gates of heaven, and an angel will say unto me, John Jasper, John Jasper, do you want your golden slippers? And I'll say to that angel, yes, I want my golden slippers, but not now, I'll take them later. And then he said that angel will say to me, well, John Jasper, do you want your robe of righteousness? And John Jasper said, yes, I want my robe of righteousness. I want that robe made of clean linen, clean and white. Yes, I want my robe of righteousness, but not right now, I'll take it later. He said, and then that angel will say to me, John Jasper, do you want your crown? Do you want your crown? And John Jasper said, I'll say to that angel, yes, I want my crown. This poor Negro servant wants every reward coming to him. Yes, I want my crown, but not right now. I'll take my crown later. Then the angel will say to him, John Jasper, would you like to meet Elijah? And would you like to shake hands with John, the beloved apostle? And would you like to meet the apostle Paul? And John Jasper said, I'll say to that angel, yes, I'd like to meet Elijah that called fire down from heaven. And I'd like to shake hands with the apostle John that laid his head on Jesus' bosom. And I'd like to meet the apostle Paul that started more Baptist churches than any man in history. But not right now. Right now, he says, the first one I want to see is my master Jesus. Yes, my friend, the first one we're going to see when we get to heaven is our Master Jesus. You know why? Because we love Him because He first loved us. And so our cups ought to be running over this morning as born-again Christians, because we have the Lord as our personal Lord and Savior, and then because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Then our cups ought to run over this morning because of the joy J-O-Y, because of the joy that floods our souls. Joy, because of the wonderful things that Christ has spoken to us in the Word of God. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Full. My friend, Christ, the Blessed One, gives to us wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Our cups ought to run over, my friend, when we see the and read about the precious promises that God has given to us in His Word. And then, my friend, our cup ought to run over with joy, because of all the answers to prayer that have been given to us in Jesus' name. Jesus said in John 16, verse 24, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." May be full. Yes, our cups ought to run over this morning. If you're born again, if you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter if you were a boy, it doesn't matter if you're a teenager, it doesn't matter if you were an adult, it doesn't matter if you were just old and gray-headed or bald-headed like me, my friend. If you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you know Him as your personal Lord, your cup ought to be running over this morning. Your cup ought to run over because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Then our cups ought to run over because of the joy, my friend, and the precious promises of the Word of God, and the joy of seeing our prayers answered, my friend. I can't begin to name all the answers to prayer that I have received, my friend, since 1970. December 7, 1970. The greatest answers are when I got saved. You see, my friend, the Christian life starts with prayer. And it continues with prayer, daily prayer, my friend. And when we go to God in prayer and we talk to God about our needs, He meets those needs. And our cups ought to be running over. And then our cups ought to run over because we have the privilege of being laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8 states, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God." Hey, our cups ought to run over, my friend, that the Lord Jesus Christ has included us in His great plan of evangelizing the whole world that sinners can be saved. Our cups ought to be running over. Hey, my cup runs over. Every time I see somebody take a box, I want you to know my cup begins to run over. Because I know that that box, like I think we've got two over there, one going to Ghana, one going to Honduras. We've got three over here. We've got one going to Nigeria. We got one going to Togo. Somebody said, "Where's Togo?" Togo is in West Africa. Nigeria is in West Africa. And then South Africa. And when we pick up that cup, when we pick up that box, there's eight Bibles in that box, as Brother Carey has said, you know. That missionary is going to rejoice when he receives that box. He knows I got eight Bibles here now that I can give to my converts on the field. You know, I can give them something to take home and read and grow in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then they can read of those wonderful promises that in their cups will begin to flow over, you know. And they can share the Word of God with their family and their neighbors and their co-workers and the students they go to school with. And then their cups are going to be running over. Isn't it a wonderful thing, my friend? Our cups can run over. Hey, let's get involved. Let's get involved in missions. Let's get involved, my friend, in supporting missionaries all around the world. Let's get involved in Beams and sending out Bibles. As I said, you know, they ship containers. But my friend, right now, you have the privilege to take a box. Now, it's going to be a sacrifice. But we're supposed to give our sacrifices. We're supposed to give our offerings to the Lord. We're supposed to give above and beyond the tithe to the work of God in the world. And God will bless that. But our cups ought to run over, that we can share in that and realize that it's going to be used of God in 3,000 missionaries around the world. Just think about that. When you support Beams, you are supporting 3,000 missionaries around the world because they're getting those Bibles, you know, and giving them to their converts. Our cups ought to run over. Ought to run over because we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Our cups ought to run over because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God that our brother was talking about, Fred, this morning, you know. The love of God for lost sinners, you know. No matter where they are in a social status, you know. That love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Our cups ought to run over, my friend, because of the precious promises that we read about in the Word of God and all of the answers to prayer that have been ours since we've been saved. Then that we are laborers together with God. Now, there's several things born-again Christians ought to do because our cups run over. Several things we ought to do because our cups run over. First of all, we should worship and praise and be thankful unto Him that fills our cups. Psalms 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." Psalms 105, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make His deeds known among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works." Psalms 113:1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord." Back in Santa Fe, New Mexico, we had a Spanish church besides the English preaching church. Now, I don't preach in Spanish. We had a Spanish preacher. I preach mainly in English. I can just do the Romans Road in Spanish, you know, small talk in Spanish. I can't really, you know, preach like I'd like to in Spanish, so we had a Spanish preacher. But in the congregation, we have a man by the name of Pedro Archuleta. Pedro Archuleta is just a little guy from Mexico. He came up from Mexico in his 20s. You know, and he got saved in jail. He got saved in jail. Our preacher, my pastor, I'll tell you about my pastor, big Italian, you know. He loved jail ministry. He loved it. He would go there every week to the jail. And Pedro was an alcoholic. He was a drug addict. And in jail, you know, he started to get under conviction and he was seeking God. He prayed to God, "God help me," you know, and somebody sent Spanish Bibles to the jail. He got a Spanish Bible. He began to read his Bible. And then he prayed to God that God would send somebody to show him what he needed to do, you know, to change his life. And then our big Italian pastor comes in here and preaches. He says, "Pastor Chialero, he was like a big policeman." He said, "He came into the jail and he just preached the Word of God." He said, "I had been praying, for God to send somebody." He says, "And God sent Pastor Chialero." He says, "And I got saved. I got saved. God sent the Bible first, and then He sent the preacher." He says, "And he got saved." And then Pedro said, "I began praying, what can I do for the Lord? What can I do for the Lord?" You know, when you get saved, you want to do something for God. You want to do something for the Lord who saved you. And the Lord said, "Sing. Sing." So Pedro Archuleta, he sings every service. Every service. Sunday school, Sunday church, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. And he sings in Spanish. Spanish. I don't know if you've ever heard Spanish gospel singing, but it's beautiful. I mean, to me, it's the heavenly language, you know, because that's the language of my fathers, you know. But he sings every... Matter of fact, I used to interpret... The songs that he would sing, you know, we had a screen and a projector, and I would write them out in English so everybody could understand what was being said in Spanish as Pedro preached as he sang, because that's what it really was, you know. He was singing and preaching about what God had done for him. You know, my friend, if your cup is running over as a born-again Christian, because we should worship and praise, be thankful unto Him who fills a cup. And then when our cup runneth over, we should share. We should share the overflow with all of our acquaintances, all of our co-workers, all of our family, and all of our friends. Share that overflow, because, my friend, the Lord makes our cups to run over so that others can taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Listen, has the Lord answered special prayer requests that you have had? Then share, my friend, the great and mighty things that the Lord has done for you. When you get a prayer request answered, share that with somebody. Say, hey, listen, I prayed, and listen what God did for me. Share it with others. Listen, has the Lord showed you some great promise in the Word of God? Then share that with others. You know, my friend, when the preacher preaches a message that really has blessed your heart, then share that message with others. Remember I told you about Sergeant Campamore, the man who led me to the Lord, how he would come in every morning and throw his military cap on the desk and say, "Praise the Lord for another day to serve Him, Jim. Now come over here and let me show you what our duties are today." Every morning he did that. Every morning. But not only did he do that, every Monday morning he would tell me, "Jim, you should have been in church with me on Sunday." He said, "Because my pastor preached the best message he ever preached." And then he would tell me the message that his pastor preached. I mean, he was excited about the message as everybody else was about football or baseball or basketball. He was just as excited about that message. Hey, when your pastor preaches a message, my friend, and it has blessed your heart, share that message with your friends and your family and your coworkers. Share that. So it's not just going to be a blessing for you. It's going to be a blessing also for them. Has the Lord filled your cup to running over with material gain? Material gain. Has He filled it up with material gain, my friend? Then we should do as Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give! Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. You know what hinders us, my friend, from our cups flowing over is that we just keep everything we got. You keep what you got. You're plugging up the spout. You're plugging up the spout. You know, just give. God's given to you, just give. Listen, the last thing we should do with our cups, my friend, is keep your cup in the place where it gets filled. Keep your cup in the place where it gets filled. Does the Lord fill your cup in the prayer closet? Then don't neglect to pray. Does the Lord fill your cup when you discover some wonderful promise in the Word of God? Then don't fail to read the Word of God. Does the Lord fill your cup when you come to the house of God, my friend, and fellowship with the saints? Then don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Listen, keep your cup under the spout where the blessings come out. Our preacher used to say that all the time. And Brother Chilero, he'd always say that. He'd always say, "Sit on the front row." He says, "If you want to have a little drippings here." He said, sit on the front row, you know. But he said, listen, keep your cup under the spout where the blessings come out. Hey, I want you to know, my friend, blessings come out here. Because this is where the Word of God is opened. This is where the Word of God is expounded. This is where the Word of God is taught. This is where the Word of God is preached. And so keep your cup under the spout where the blessings come out. And you know what? Your cup's going to run over. It's going to run over. Let's bow our heads in an attitude of prayer. Hey, does your cup run over, my friend, when you witness God?